Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Nairobi Sisterhood. This is season 3 and so far I hope you've been enjoying our content. We are back and we are doing it bigger and better than ever before. And today, the guest that is laughing, I don't know why he's laughing.
This is one of Nairobi's best podcasts. So,
oh my gosh.
Hey, that's what's up, baby. Period.
Yeah. I'm going to introduce myself. I am Gina and I'm here with my bestie, my lovely co-host.
Maya Mushami. Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. And the lovely gentleman sandwiched between us today is... Tell us your name.
My name is Mugambi. I am a friend of these two clowns somehow, some way, but yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah. Should I be honest and say like friend is a big word considering I don't remember the
last time we met?
Please.
Give a backstory. Look out for that clip. We'll give you a backstory.
For sure. Because it's one of those people for when I met him, I would say, yeah, I've heard so much about you. And I don't know if
Maya is a mutual connection.
Yeah. Yes.
But we met each other a long time ago and we both don't remember, so it's all good.
Yeah. And the reason why he's here seated today is because he decided to leave the country and go study abroad, and you know, he did the thing that all Kenyans dream of doing.
Which is what?
Disappearing. From this country. Yeah.
I don't think it's all Kenyans. Let's be serious. The rest of us have really been appreciating Kenya. Okay, maybe not in this season, but in general.
I'm a honest.
The Patriots have been loving Kenya from the jump. You've always wanted to leave Kenya?
I don't think I've always wanted to be here.
I don't think I've always... I've actually never thought of leaving until last year.
That's very interesting.
That's valid though.
Like leaving to live abroad. Like, I can live for, like, tourism, but that's it. Like, I've never wanted... You know, your American dream. But maybe Gabi will expound further. So today's episode, we're going to talk about how it is to study abroad, the pros, the cons, and just, in general, give you a view of what... Maybe his experience, because obviously he's only going to speak about his experience in the country he was in. And maybe you can compare notes on whether you want to move abroad, you know?
True. Yeah. We need to actually make sure whether this is still a dream of ours for the people who have been having this dream.
Confirm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us, where did you study? When did you leave? What did you study?
So
who are you?
Who am I?
Not the who are you.
Hey. Weni nani?
No, but that's a good question.
So, yeah, as I said, my name is Mugambi. That's who I am. I left, when was it? 2016. To go study engineering. I went to study chemical engineering and it was a roller coaster of an experience. So I left in August I left for September intake. Got there. That place is far. Like people say it's far, but it's far. The flight it takes forever. First you go to Europe. And then sometimes you go to the US and then you go to Canada, or you go to Europe and to Canada. But then where I went was not a major city. So I had to take another flight after getting to Toronto for the local flight. Yeah. But that local flight was 3 hours.
Damn, what?
Yeah. Like to halfway in the country.
Canada.
I did. Unfortunately.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately,
not
I
the
did.
Shags.
So I went to a small town. They call it a town. May I call it a village?
Wow.
It's small. That place, there's 300,000 people in that town, which is like the size of, I don't know, Lavington population. Or Kile now, the way, if you combine Kile, Kilimani,
and Lavington,
maybe Milim, that's all the people there. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, I have to ask because it's a small town in a predominantly white country.
Yes. With a lot of international students, though.
Okay,
I think
okay.
As I was leaving, I checked the statistics. Mm-hmm. There's like 15 to 20% of the students in that uni are international students.
But are they international students from Africa, or is it like everywhere. International?
Right. International universe. Everywhere. Like I think like at least up to 100 countries.
Okay,
so
that's,
guys from China. I met even somebody from Azerbaijan.
Wow. I'm not even sure.
Did you guys know that it's even a country? Like, not where it is, that it is a country.
You know, sometimes you hear places and you're like, here you go, Bob.
No, I'm so
he busted the atlas, like, where is this?
Where is this?
Anyway, I'm grateful I was in MUN, so the names of countries don't changanya me. Because I'm like, if I wasn't, sometimes I hear like Laos, like, cause Pakistan, you're like,
I mean, no, I'm bad with geography because I was playing categories, the game with my cousins this December, and letter at a B is in a country.
At a B,
like, B is Somalia.
Like, not even that. I think it's because I also wasn't sure whether some things are countries or cities. You know, like Sadiq Shasema, Brazil, ni country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that. I knew that. Sorry. My bad.
But you know what I was expecting you to say? Bali.
Bali.
Where is that?
Bali is a city.
Oh, Indonesia. Yeah. Where everyone
not
is
the
going.
The fact that I asked, where is that? Wow. Hey, cancel.
Okay, I'm going to need you to get out there.
Yeah. Tabidi nimetembea kidogo.
Get your passport stamped.
Yeah.
But unajua ikiwa stamped, unajuanga only a country when you go there. No?
No.
No, then it exposes you to many other people and countries and experiences.
Well, next time. Better luck next time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a lot of international students, but still predominantly white town. Mm-hmm. So, like, outside of uni and outside of the city itself, like everywhere else, it was a farming province.
Yeah.
So everywhere else was just like, it was full of white people. But when
shit, let me fix my face.
Maya does not like white people.
Oh, you don't need to put that on the pod. No. I don't know.
Yeah, we accept people of all races.
Races, gender, orientation.
Yes.
For the most part. Yeah.
But no, obviously, like, when you are in a place where you are the minority, how does that affect you on a psychological level?
You feel it. You really feel it. Yeah. Like, when, from everything, even just, I remember when, because I'm visiting, I would come visit regularly. Even adverts, like you watch an advert and you're like, there's no black people. Best they can do is 0.5. Or they do, or to make it like politically correct.
I am Ugambi.
Eh, sasa umekuja Africa, sasa uwezi ongea.
Me, I'm from the mountain, bana. Achana mimi.
I can't even fault you, because how many times is that? This is usually me. All the time.
So, even just adverts, like, when I came back, I was, you look at billboards, you look at on TV, adverts before news, whatever. Yeah. You don't feel like you're different because everybody looks like you.
Mm.
But when you're there, you notice it in those subtle things.
The little things.
Like, you'll be walking and I used to work. So at some point, I was working part-time in a hardware store while studying. And at some point, there was two black guys. Me and a friend of mine called Yona. Shout out to Yona.
Yo.
He's from Zambia. And people would confuse us. And we don't even look alike.
Oh my God. Not the... All black people look
Yeah, there's two black people working here. You're the same. So we'd be like, they would confuse us all the time because sometimes we'd work together.
Oh,
or he'd be on another shift. I'd be on another shift. So those things is when microaggressions, a lot of microaggressions.
You know, someone was telling me how at when you're in Kenya, you think you're the, like, you think you're, this is it.
You think this is it.
That's why it's so confusing when you go abroad and then you're just like, hey, but there are no white people on TV. Like, there are no black people on TV. Like, you thought this was it. In fact, you don't even notice you're black until you leave the country.
Exactly.
Then now you're like, oh, by the way, hey, I'm not looking like my neighbor.
I didn't even identify as a black person.
Yeah.
Until I left. So people are like, you're filling out forms. What's your race?
Because in Kenya, it's just like,
what is that
male,
question?
Female.
Yeah, it doesn't click that you're a black person until you leave and you realize.
I feel like it's because Kenya, the biggest thing is what? Ethnicity.
It's tribes.
We identify more with tribes than even than skin tone.
Yeah.
So when there's tribe's not even a thing. So it's just like, you're black, you're white, you're Asian, you're this, that. So those are those things you notice. A lot of microaggressions that I had to first understand their microaggressions and then just either put them to the side or address them. Because some of them were egregious, like somebody saying, oh, your English is good. So I used to take that.
But did you get offended or surprised?
Is it like your English is good and in silence there is for a black person? Like, you can
that's
hear
the missing
undertone.
Part. That's the missing part. And then first I used to take it in...
What does that mean?
I used to just be shocked. I was like, what does that mean? Yeah. But then I started realizing, like Gina is saying, there's the underlying message at the end that's like, for a black person or for an international student.
So at the beginning, was it offensive? Because when I don't know what's going on, it's just like,
it never used to register. But then I started realizing, I was like, this is a microaggression. So how do I address this? I would either just dismiss it or I also started like giving it back.
I love it because
I was in a smaller town. I would also say, yours is also pretty good for somebody from here. And then some of them would be like, And they'd get taken aback, and I'd be like, that's
how it feels.
That's how it feels.
That's what you're saying.
Because what is this? Ninendelea ba?
Yeah.
Man, that's funny.
So, a lot of that, but not overt racism.
Yeah. Mm.
So, I'll say this. Those small towns are actually really nice.
Okay.
Because they're difficult places to live. Like Maya, were talking on the way here about the weather.
Yeah.
Which is a very serious topic of discussion over there.
Yeah.
But because it's so extreme, especially now in winter, from January to March, it gets very cold. So you literally rely on a lot of people. Like sometimes your car doesn't start. Or you kwama on the road. That happened to me once during COVID testing. I parked a car and then I got into the car of a friend of mine at the time. And we're getting tested. Came back, my car had died. So we were just there waiting. And then...
Because it's cold.
Yeah. So then I had to get it towed and got it fixed eventually. But during winter especially, you really need to have... That friendliness comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which it leads me to... When you were here, I'm guessing you had friends from high school, people you've grown up with.
Yeah.
Maya over here.
This
you chose Canada over me.
Jokes.
Just kidding.
What was the hardest part of making friends and forming a community
abroad
when you were abroad? And also, are you extroverted?
Yes.
Okay.
But I feel like that I lost a bit of that while I was there just by adjusting. Mm-hmm. I feel like now it's coming back. But the biggest thing is just cultural differences.
Mm.
So, you know, there, the same here, you finish high school, you go to uni, you have your friends. So as an international, when you're coming, you either, if you're lucky, you come with like a friend. Because that happened to a few friends of mine where they went and they knew somebody who was also going. So they were together from the jump.
Yeah.
Right. So you at least have one person.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I went to a place where I knew nobody. Like not family, no friends, no nothing.
Why was that your choice?
Yeah.
Because the program was good.
Okay.
Like the engineering program was really strong. So I went there for that.
And then also I think in your head you're just like, how hard can it be to find friends? And then I feel like in the movies they show campus as such a
fun thing.
You'll go, you'll meet a friend, you'll have a friend from Brazil, you'll have a friend from CG where.
Like
then you get there and you're just like, these people don't rate me. I need to read books for how to make friends.
We over there just Googling.
But those things do happen. Mm-hmm. There's a big, like, in those universities, there's a lot of emphasis on, like, there's an office just for international students.
Yeah. Mm.
So you can go there and meet people from everywhere. And that whole, like, multicultural, you know, that picture, Chima, Kakwa, Nyasi, that happens and it's there. But in the beginning, once, like, school starts going and everyone's busy, nasahau. But
so if you don't, so it's, like, advisable to make friends within your first that ka window.
That first,
because we want to create opportunity for you to do it.
And there's a lot of events and programs to get people together so that you can make some friends. Mm. And my first group of friends were actually all international students. So there was some guys from Nigeria, there's some girls from Zimbabwe, and then exchange students. So there's international and exchange students. So we had some friends from the UK, France, some guys from Sweden, Germany. So it was like a big mix. But then the exchange students left. So then that now group gets cut like half.
Yeah.
So then we're left. But we stayed tight for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was good at that time because we had some international friends.
You have a semblance of community.
Semblance of community. You get kind of like the cultural understandings are kind of the same. Mm. Different but same. Similar.
What do you think would have been different if you were here? Because I think what you're describing is pretty much my experience coming from a different town but still in the same country.
Yeah.
So what do you think would have been different for you if you were here?
Just familiarity.
Yeah.
Like if I was here, because I live in Kile, so if I was here, I would have gone to UN.
Yeah.
I'd have been living at home. I'd have all my friends around me, community, people from church,
your life didn't have changed too much.
Other than the fact that
you'd have been at a higher education. Yes, you're getting a higher education.
Yeah, that's the only difference. But even just those things, you know how guys here after five you go have cocktails,
yeah, and then you go
dunda, yeah, and all those things, like they happen, but they happen differently. So their beer culture is very big. I wasn't a big beer drinker. Even now, like I'll drink a beer, but I don't like it that much.
It's not that you're choosing to drink beer. Yeah.
Mm. Some off chance, but it's not my preferred.
No, when you're saving me from my order.
Yeah. But it's an off.
I'm sorry, what?
Recently we went out and then I said, let me try something different. Then I ordered a beer and I was just like, idi nini. What have I just done to myself?
Yeah.
Then I was just like,
I just took it.
Just save a sister because I'm dying and this is not my potion.
Well, at least you tried it.
Tried is a stretch.
I sipped it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to you.
So there was that, like, adjusting to that. Mm-hmm. Pub culture is very big. So, you know, here how we have places like At Cafe.
Yeah.
It's like a lounge atmosphere.
Yeah. Mm.
There it's mainly bars and pubs.
So Zila's a movies in Ukweli, like when they say you're driving down, I don't know what road, and then you walk into a pub and I saw this man with luscious hair and he's a bartender, he's serving beer.
Maya has some aspirations.
You have some fantasies,
some
man.
Some crazy fantasies.
I've been watching too many of those Christmas movies. You know, she goes to a small town, like, and she falls in love.
No. My car broke down, so the first pub that I entered, I met this man.
And I married him because he showed me that life in New York is trash.
I left my big corporate job and settled down in a small farm with a white picket fence.
The taka-taka.
Let's not do that.
Screaming.
You guys actually like that kind of content.
Yeah.
You know, life is hard. Please don't judge me.
Once in a while, I want to be lied to. I want to know that I'm being lied to.
No, not even out that. Lie to me cinematically. Don't lie to me in person. Like, let's just.
Out here, you're being lied to with nothing.
Like on a movie. Lie to me through a movie plot line, but don't lie to me.
Not kawaida.
Not in person. Nimechoka na wanairu.
Take tips. Lie. They like lies. Cinematic lies.
Kwapo tu. Lakini ukae sura yako pia ikae vizuri. Sia tunadanganya tu kama unataka.
What? Asterisk. Maya said, terms and conditions apply.
You can lie to me if you look like you can lie to me.
Terms and conditions. Well, harassment versus flattery.
It's giving. You don't need to lie to her. She lied to herself if she likes you so much.
If you have a face that she appreciates, she can lie to herself.
Worry. Anyway, no, seriously. Speaking about the culture, how is their nightlife? Like, did you think it was so different from Kenya? Did you like it?
So one of the things that was a shock was nightlife ends early. Mm. You know, here how guys do until 6, 7, alutas. Guys can go until 12 the next day.
End. It's giving alcoholic. End. Please, let's fix it as a country.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But anyway, carry on.
The first time we went out, so now we're all international students, right? We've come from this kind of lifestyle. There, so we're going out. We've had pre-drinks at like 11, 12. We get to the club at like 1:30. We're walking in. We've been on the dance floor for like half an hour. 20 minutes. Guys are saying last call. We're like, what does that even mean? First, they announce when like the bar is shutting down.
not the last call.
They're like, last call for alcohol. The DJ be like, last call for alcohol. So do you what? So then
at two,
some places 1:30.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, maybe they want people to dunda and get home safe. Right? You cut it at 2, but you continue until 5. That way everyone's sober, you can drive. Because driving culture is also very big, but I'll get to that later.
Also, you can stay in the club till 5, but the alcohol is stopping.
That's what they thought.
After like 20 minutes, the lights go on.
The lights thing happened to us in Europe.
Not actually, that happened in Europe, by the way.
Yeah.
Muna measure steamer.
And people are in the middle of the
thing. People are catching a
wine. Exactly.
I can't even see in peace. You're dropping the best of your life
in a foreign country. We're like, I'm having the time of my life only for the steamers to come
steamers
on.
Steamers.
And they don't even announce. Just boom.
Yeah.
DJ cuts the music. Yeah. You're there looking at this babe like, wow. Okay.
Now you're sober. Now you can see her clearly.
And she can see you clearly also. So it's like, okay, this maybe was not the best decision.
Maybe that's a good thing that they do that. No. For you to check your decision.
No, let people go home at their own time.
You know, the club is not there for... You're there for other things.
You're there for a good time.
Right? For a good time. If you're,
why am I here for you to police me? If I wanted to be police, I'd have been in charge.
Fair enough. Bruh.
Nothing for cutting the lights on is kidogo disrespectful. But...
I'm gonna be honest, if I had a club, I'd do that.
You'd cut them off.
Yeah. I don't think I'd go to a club Nina owns. I'm sorry.
Why?
She doesn't even like the nightlife. So how would she be able to like translate?
She'd be like, they're waiting, guys. It's my bedtime.
You know what I'm saying? So if it was a club I own, I'm sure we're out till Aluta.
Okay, here's the thing.
No. Lala by 12.
No, look at it like this. I might not be a nightlife person, but I like money. And I know what people
like.
Fine. So because I like money, I'd run the nightclub as a nightclub.
As a business.
Yeah, as a business.
So, that's one of the things. Like, we got there late, basically.
You should have started drinking at 8. Pre-drinks should have ended at 8. No,
they start, pre-drinks start at like 7. Guys, they eat dinner at 6, even 5. Ooh. I was like, 5, you know, that's time out. For tea.
Yeah. When you used to be in boarding school and ukisha maliza chai ya 4, when them get ready, mkule supper by 6, 7.
Yeah, 6, yeah.
By 8, you're asleep, actually.
Asleep? Preps.
Oh, yeah, preps.
Mko preps at 9.
Day school.
No, day school before boarding.
Yeah.
Day school before boarding, by 8, you're in bed. Boarding school, 8 uko preps.
Yeah.
And then 9, na kulala.
Mnakula break.
You guys had preps for 1 hour?
Like 7 to 9.
What school
is it? Oh, okay. That's, I think, till 10.
You'd be like, nanyi mko mnateso?
No, that's primary school. High school was a different case.
You did boarding in primary?
My parents don't like me.
You don't actually.
I
was like, I'm doing day school until class 8.
Uh-huh. And
then I'll go to boarding after.
I mean, I was in boarding school since class 4. My parents love me, I promise. I promise they do. Or they try.
They don't.
No, they do.
They don't.
Screw you.
So,
anyway.
There was that. Mm-hmm. Other things like, eating dinner at 5 or 6. But I understand it now. Because during winter, you know, that thing for the sun going down mapema is actually, it's rude.
Yeah.
It's crazy and it's rude.
Kuwashwa, rude.
The sun.
Giza kuingia, rude.
It's rude. Because why is the sun setting at 5 o'clock?
Damn.
5. So by the time, you know, when it's getting dark, you're like, maybe I should eat dinner. But that's why most of the time I see.
It's like the days are shorter.
They are much shorter.
Yeah.
So during the summer, though, they're the opposite.
Yeah.
The sun sets at 11.
So what do you see?
Yeah. You can be out in town. It's 9 o'clock. You're like, it's 9. I need to go and eat dinner. So then I think they just cut out in the middle, like, we should eat dinner around 6.
Isn't that, like, affecting your brain? Like, me, I feel like that would really affect
it
me.
It does.
Yeah, like, you're also, your circadian rhythm, like, you're sleeping.
It does.
What time do you sleep? What time do you wake up? So, now do you have to, like, get blackout curtains?
Yes, you get blackout curtains for summer, so you can sleep on time.
Mm-hmm.
They are, like... You do, because there, you know, here you can tell what time it is. You look outside, you're like, it's 2 o'clock.
Gizani,
it's
4.
You can't do that. You gotta use the watch. Like, I feel like a watch was made for those guys. Because here you can tell what time it is anytime.
Yeah.
But there you have to use time. Like, time is so important. That's also why they're big on time.
Yeah.
And so, like, strict about being on time. Because it really matters over there.
Wow.
Okay. Let me take this conversation in a different direction. Mm. Are you single?
No.
Okay. So I want you to talk to us about the experience dating
abroad,
and especially within cultures that are not yours.
Okay. Dating abroad is... Okay. Dating or relationships?
Both.
Both. I'll start with dating. Like, you know, going on dates, figuring out people.
Hey,
it's online interesting.
Dating?
Online dating is big.
Yeah.
I didn't really get into it because I don't believe in it.
But right there with you in Kenya now.
In Kenya. But the dating scene, when you crossing cultures, is interesting for both good and bad reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, I haven't experienced this, but some of my friends have experienced microaggressions. Dating outside their race, especially. This happens a lot for either black guys or black women as well, where they date maybe, like, especially when it's like interracial between black and white people. You get a lot of friction and a lot of awkwardness. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The ones that work, they end up working really well.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that don't, they...
It's not ideal.
They're not working at all. I dabbled with...
Semantics.
Dabbled, but like with women from different races.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience was generally positive.
Okay.
Said I can't relate. Can't relate to the sufferers.
So for me, I didn't have... microaggressions or anything like that. But also, I think because I wasn't just dating anybody,
or you were particular about who you were.
Said I'm selective.
I have a question for Maya though.
Yeah.
If you were to go abroad to study or to work for whatever period of time, would you be open to dating outside of your race?
I feel like for 90% of my life, I would have answered that question with a no. I would not be open. But in the recent past, as recent as 2023.
That was 10 days ago.
No, not 2023.
What can change in 10 days?
Not the 10 days. Like in 2023, I was more open to like dating the people I wasn't open to dating before. Like younger guys, people outside my race, people outside my tribe. I'm not... I'm not as picky as I was then in that sense. And then also, maybe I've not met the love of my life because I've been anti-white people, man. You know what I mean?
You're not standing on business.
Stop.
Stop. The love of your life is not in your culture.
You know, the love of my life might not be black and I'm here just hating. So, you know, let me be open and see because people are just, people are their characters. They're not their skin color. So we'll see. Although, now what I'm scared about.
Because I know where you've
What I'm scared about is that microaggressions thing. Because I don't know how I will handle the, I don't know. Dating is hard in itself. Okay, not always, but meeting someone else, understanding them, making room for them, tolerating certain things, growing as a person, all those things are hard. Now I add explaining to you why I do certain things that I didn't even know I needed to explain. You get like...
I understand,
Kulala na bonnet, I don't see how that is something I will explain to someone. But then now I don't understand.
About,
not even that. The fact that maybe he wouldn't know my wig, unato uneka, unahang. The fact that I have to explain that, nasa...
I'm
like, why is he shocked?
Or like looking at you, I'm like, why do you look
maybe
different?
He thought I just ngoad my scalp and now I'm an alien. I'm like, I don't know whether I have the capacity to be doing that. And then already I feel like I don't have a filter, so I talk badly. So kidogo, I don't want to costaya people. And then in a relationship, and the way when you love someone, it's so whatever they say, you really take to heart.
Yes.
So imagine aseme kitu about. I don't know. So my nose looks funny. And I'm just like, well, I mean, everyone in my family looks...
No, that's,
I don't
that's the extreme. Person. That because now the person is to exercise empathy in the relationship and recognize that you have different cultures and races, even as you're interacting.
And then
so
I
you can
like
be
Loki,
curious, but you can't be rude.
Loki, I feel like he probably... I don't know. This is just a paranoid. Like, I'm paranoid, but I think I'd be... In my head, I'd be like, oh my God, what if he goes... Like, when he's mad, he's just thinking, this n***a. You know what I mean? I don't know whether I can... It would kill me.
I think I understand your paranoia.
Yo. And but like, I'm just like, my ancestors are wailing
but
from
you know,
this commitment.
Those happen like, it's a very loud minority.
Yeah.
Because people are not like in 1950.
Yeah. Yes. Social media has made things like more.
People are more aware.
Yeah.
And also, I would assume the people you're meeting at least have some sense of culture
awareness.
Like they've.
As
you know.
Someone, I think I've experienced both ends of dating out of my race.
Tell us.
Side. No, this is not a relationship episode. But basically, there will be the people who are, they may not be familiar, but they're curious and they're aware and they're willing to learn.
Yeah.
And then there will be people who will only see you as a black person and nothing else.
True.
And fetishize you,
and
for,
fetishize
being.
You for being a black person.
Yes.
So it's up to you to decide who you are allowing into your space.
But sasa, unaona sasa yoku save. You're saving into sasa
yoku. It's okay if you don't have the capacity for it, but I would understand.
Yeah, and what I found is a lot of internationals end up, like people would date outside their race, you know, when you're still in uni and everything. But then afterwards, you're like, ha, this is difficult. I'm going back to my roots, my culture, at least, you know, from the same region. So like, we might not find a Kenyan, like, because we're Kenyan, I might not find a Kenyan.
But you did like a Tanzanian.
You find a Tanzanian. Like I have two friends of mine. The guy is Tanzanian, the girl is Zimbabwean.
Okay.
But they dated like
outside,
you know, they whatever.
Wakajaribu,
like, hey, okay. So they knew each other obviously, but then they started dating and you can see the comfort of having somebody who understands those things you don't have to say.
Yeah.
So,
hey, explain.
I get that.
But in my experience, I'm in an interracial relationship. But our cultures are not so different that there's a lot of friction. Mm-hmm. And we're also learning a lot from each other.
Yeah.
The other thing is we are people who like to learn. Mm-hmm. So she likes to learn from me. Okay. I like to learn from her.
Oh, that's sweet. I love that.
This season we are doing positive love. Sikila siku tunatuanisha wanaume hapa, by the way.
No, we've left that negative.
We've left that content. Leave it.
You can go watch those other videos. But yeah, we're here for the positive.
We're here for the positive stories. Yeah. What do you think is...
Wait. You said you guys like to learn from each other. So what's the biggest thing you've learned from her because of her culture?
That's a good question.
How similar they are. Like a lot of food that we eat is very similar.
Mm-hmm. But they're named differently.
They're named differently. So like, I'll give you an example. Roti versus chapati. Mm. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You just call it different things.
Yeah.
Biryani, you both eat biryani. So if she makes biryani, like, it's not like, oh my gosh, what is this? Like, oh, okay.
It's biryani. Okay. Yeah.
Even chai, we both, like, I'll make chai for her, she'll make for me.
Yeah.
A bit different. No, that's, she hates that so much. But if we make it for each other, it's, we'll make it slightly different.
Yeah.
Kenyan tea is a bit different.
Yeah.
There's a bit different, but...
But it's still...
It's still tea. It's still tea, and it's still something you're familiar with. So...
So it's not like that you're eating snails. You know, like... extremes. No.
Okay. I personally don't eat snails.
Snails are not bad.
Yeah.
I had them in October. I had gone for a work trip to Montreal. And we had... On the menu, it was escargot. And me and my coworker were like, do you want to try this?
You're braver than me because Mara.
They're not bad. It tastes like chicken. That thing of it tastes like chicken is not a lie.
Stop this minute. Stop this moment. Right this minute. Stop it.
It's not bad.
Okay.
What else do you guys want to know?
So I wanted to know, what do you think the job market there? What do you think are the differences between the job market there and the job market here?
The fact that you can actually get a job after you graduate. No shade.
Thank you.
But
that's for the honesty.
The honest thing is, if you study something, you know, there are a lot of people who study, who go to school to study serious subjects to get good careers, right? Like law, finance, economics.
Let me study on the job market for law.
So you are able to actually get work in your field.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, from the statistics I've seen for engineering graduating classes, like 70 to 80%.
Wow.
Work, not just work, but work in their field.
No, I feel like that's the difference, because in Kenya, the job market is, you'll graduate, but the chances of you, first of all, you struggle to get the job because you need a job through connections, and maybe the connections aren't even the right connection. You can have a connection, but is it in law? Then now you have a connection in med school. I can't work in a hospital, no matter how much you... maybe in the legal department.
You can work in the legal
department. But the chances are, maybe your parents are doctors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Their connections are more like...
Within their circle.
Within their industry.
Yeah.
So now, ukonje.
Yeah.
Ama, you get the job. You get a job, but the job is not in your field. So it's such a struggle.
Because the competition is so high here, the pay is not matching the amount of work that many people are doing.
That's
true.
Yeah.
So they can offer you peanuts, because, you know, because even if you turn down the job,
someone else will do it for that price.
Someone else will do it.
Or cheap labor. Do you know that we were the cheap labor we're talking about in the social media? So SST papers we were writing in primary.
I'm going to say something that is a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
That is part of why I think for us, this is the best time to have a business, because there is cheap labor.
Yeah.
So for me, to employ someone at this stage, it's going to be a lot cheaper than in the next, like if we were more developed, or than if I started a business in a different country. Because I can get people, please don't quote me, but I can get people to work at
a ridiculous amount.
I can put 1,000 on the table.
And someone will
take it.
Yeah, for whatever job
I'm
that is.
Do that,
I know what you mean, yeah.
Maybe that's something we need to explore more as a country. Instead of seeking out employment, try to be the ones who are creating this employment for people, so that we improve the job market.
And I hear you.
And yes, it can start with government and all.
I serikali.
Lakini, wewe unaona hii serikali ya Ruto ikitupeleka wapi?
No, not even that. I feel like even the problem with the business angle is, I agree in terms of cheap labor, but I wonder if the factor, like, is the environment conducive for that business?
No.
You get, because as much as there are so many factors.
That even as an entrepreneur,
it's
like the government is working against me. I think I've told you this. At every stage, I'm fighting for my life.
Yeah.
I am fighting these people.
Sorry,
and
girl.
I don't know if that's something you've seen. I know you're employed, yeah?
Yes.
So I don't know about the business side of things. Do you have people who have gone on to start businesses as international students and that's people who came. Group, yeah.
Yes, actually yeah. a few. But because labor is expensive, oh. they are the ones running the business. So they put in a lot of effort and a lot of time, yeah. but they're the ones primarily running the business. If yeah. they've employed somebody, it's a friend or a family member.
Okay.
Or somebody really close. So they're paying them, but...
Not your market rate.
No, they'll pay market rate, but there's a bit of room for discussion. You know, there when people get employed, it's like, what is your number? This is my number. If not, I'm out. I'm finding another job. I'm looking for a job as I'm getting a job.
Oh wow! Because kind of here, I think the problem is you'll take the job with the bad pay,
yeah,
and look whilst you're there, and you're miserable. Yeah. Oh my god!
And you will look,
and like, it's not even will look. It's yeah. not even yeah. a joke. It's giving. Let me tell you, confession. Did
These
I not
my
send
confessions.
Over 30 job applications last year?
Oh my
Wild.
God!
And then I'm just like,
how many?
30.
Over 30
in a year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. I will say this sidebar. You have to apply a lot.
Like
so 30. So 30 is in a year. That's low.
And they lower it.
You'll be surprised.
For us there, you find people applying to like 200 jobs over the span of a year.
But then I have a question. How many job opportunities is there to me on as in to apply?
You see, that's, I think the difference is there are jobs to apply to.
Four.
That's true.
You see, me in my, I'm talking about those ones in my field.
Yeah, in your field.
And so then you, I forgot
like
about the ones I applied that weren't even...
In
field?
Like 3 months, you find somebody has done 60 cover letters, 60 resumes. I mean, okay, resumes.
Do they even get callbacks? So who could silence, radio.
I would say 60% of the time you'll hear back.
That's a success rate, by the
way. You'll hear back, yes or no. Okay. Some companies will even go the extra mile and give you like
feedback. I mean, like,
Kenya
this is why
could
we said
never.
No.
But there's less companies that will just ghost you.
Hey, Uku, the ghosting ones are the 60%.
I think they are closer to like 70, 80.
Oh, and then 80% will ghost you.
10% of them will tell you no. And then the other 10%,
no, that
maybe you get
I think the feedback is even the saddest part about feedback. Getting feedback in the job market in Kenya is you have to ask for it.
Mm. Yeah.
Half the time I've had to, like after I've interviewed and then I didn't get the job, I have to be like, so what could I improve? Because they never volunteer. They just,
the ones that
they're not
will
even
tell you
it.
Will volunteer, but they're not the majority. Let me make that clear. Like, you will hear back, but
unicorn.
Feedback is unique.
Yeah.
It's a unicorn. I can compare feedback.
No, even there, feedback is unique.
It's unique.
But you will hear back. You'll be told no.
Yes or no.
Or yes.
Yeah.
I don't understand in Kenya is, kuna kuna automatic system ya kuniambia tu no. Because isa ilens karibota, I think, did I not email them? You know, sometimes I even go
did
back
not
and
even
I'm like,
apply.
The
like,
internet hung
even
when
through.
I was sending
them.
Yeah,
you sent emails and you're like, oh yeah, I did actually. I did send it. Yeah.
It's so ghetto, man.
Why do you have any other questions for him?
I don't think so. Oh yeah, so maybe one last one is, what do you think is a myth you want to debunk about living abroad?
That it's cheaper.
Mm. I was about to get into this.
Listen, like cost of living is everywhere.
Yeah.
It is everywhere. However, okay, Canada is big. So there are cities and towns that are lower cost of living compared to like your Torontos, Vancouver's, Ottawa. Like there are places that are expensive, ridiculously.
Yeah.
But there are places in the same country where you can afford to live comfortably. You might just have like a more boring life.
Yeah. It's giving me moving to Nyeri. Wait. Boring. Heavy on the boring. But now you have also more money in your pocket.
Yeah.
You have more money in your pocket.
Yeah.
But I will say some of the industries in the smaller towns pay better. So it depends also on what you're doing.
Okay.
In my industry, I'm fortunate enough I can live in a bigger city.
Yeah.
But if I see that, my finances are just not matching what I want.
Yeah.
I can downgrade to a smaller city, smaller town.
Yeah.
And still make decent money because it also depends on your career.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have a good, strong career, you can choose to live in a more fast paced, exciting city.
Yeah.
You might have to deal with higher costs. Or you could also downsize into like a smaller city, a smaller town, but you get a bigger apartment, a smaller commute to work. Maybe take a pay cut slightly, but it won't even be that bad because you know pay is also market rate.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Even in the smaller towns.
Yeah, because some companies are based. They're based in a big city, but the same company operates in a smaller class. Okay.
Yeah. So it depends on your employer.
It depends also on your employer.
Because I feel like in Kenya, if I was to move, I think advocates are paid less outside of Nairobi.
Outside Nairobi.
And they are still advocates. They are still offering the same service. Yeah. We are all doing arbitration. So we're all doing it. Yeah. Then we are all, you know what I mean? You're still going to win money. Yeah. However, virtual court to internet, kihang, niwewe tu.
That's also the same because it's somebody who's living in Toronto.
Yeah.
They're not going to be paid the same as somebody who's living in the city where I went to, Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Because it's just expensive, right? So, but when you do the, you know, balance of what's coming in, what's going out, it's almost the same.
Yeah.
It's almost the same. But you can finesse. But like Gina said, depends on your employer. If you have a good employer who pays well across the board, then you can downsize and have more money in your pocket.
Yeah. Okay. So this is very, very random.
Mm.
But I have distinctly noted that you don't have an accent.
Okay. Does Canada have accents?
People in Canada have accents. I will say this.
Because Kenyans be going and then 2 weeks later, someone is like, can I get a bottle of water? And you've gone to South Africa.
That's from England. Wrong accent.
Wrong accent.
I'm weak.
That's fine.
Are you actively not speaking in the accent you speak in when you're there?
Environment. No. Environment is important.
Mm-hmm.
So in Kenya, I'm home, right?
Yeah.
Even if I've been away for a long time, there's words maybe you'll hear, you'll be like, you see what happened, but it's okay. But that thing of a tea bottle of water, like a lot of the time is, sorry to say, people are anajifanya.
Said you're coming for the summer bunnies.
See, I'm a summer bunny also.
Yeah, that's like, no, but not the others. There are many here who are coming and they are speaking anyhow. In,
like, yeah, I just want to take tea in the club. Like, yeah,
but
in the supermarket.
Yeah, if you've gone for 6 months, a year,
mm-hmm.
and you come back, the accent change is not that serious, to be honest. In Canada,
mm-hmm.
if you called me and I was there,
mm-hmm.
I'll sound different on the phone.
Yeah.
100%. But that's why I'm saying it depends on the environment.
So you do code switch.
I do code switch. So 100%. You have to code switch. Code switching is a real thing.
So like over there in a meeting with a client, speaking in a completely different accent.
Yeah.
Then my colleagues are like,
so it does happen. If I'm there, yes, I have a different accent. I pronounce words differently, but that's also because of where I am. Mm. But when I come back home, I don't know. For maybe it's just me, but that thing of having an accent, I really feel like it's kujifanya. It's just so that people know that. It's like so that people know you went out and you're back.
Yeah.
And you get some kind of clout.
Do you really need to put an accent like for people to know? I feel like they have a look. They don't have a look. Maybe like some Abanis have a look. Like you can tell.
I don't think. I couldn't tell if I didn't know.
I feel they have a look.
They
definitely have a look.
A bit. I know what Maya is talking about.
Yeah, they do. Did you unakanga ni kama when figure filter, but like any pimples ni kama ziku recognize ukiwa abroad. I don't know. There's a look. They have a look.
It's money. Pesa ni sabuni.
But is it, which is fine.
It's money.
But as he said, the thing for, it's a myth that there's more money. Yes, you make money, but you still, the cost of living mitigates the, at you're making.
But you're living for whatever money you have, you're living a better lifestyle.
You do. I will say this. If you compare a lawyer in Kenya and a lawyer in Canada, a lawyer in Canada is living much better, unfortunately.
Thanks for making it feel worse. Thank you.
You're welcome. But it depends on careers. There's a big movement right now of Kenyans going abroad to work, which is, you know, you get the bag.
Mm. Yeah.
You got to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
But you can't just flee for any job.
Not
because like you can't just torokar like for
just
any job
to wash dishes and
like there's those jobs
make
where
a plan.
The thing is what people do is convert. So you do, you're saying, hey, I'm making, let's say, $50,000.
Yeah,
you chop out the math right, like, now with the currency and you're like, whoa, I'm making like millions in a year. Right, but you're forgetting that's here. If you're making $50,000 in Kenya, you're decent. Like, you're more than decent. You're making, that's like manager's level salary in your 20s, which
you can
is like
my sugar daddy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It will. Yeah.
But then you go there, managers are making $200,000.
So you're broke there.
You're broke there, or you're floating. Like you're just making it. You're just above water. Okay. So remember, when you're applying for a job, don't think in the context of the Kenyan economy.
Yeah.
Think about the economy. Like, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. You know how much is an avocado?
I bought an avocado this week for 30 bob.
One.
Yeah, one.
One avocado can be at $1.50.
$1.50 is like.
It's like three sock. Can you imagine buying an avocado for 300 shillings?
Excuse me.
So that's just one example. Like there's especially when it comes to food.
Yeah.
There's no markets. Like these parklands markets, open markets, they're coming from the farm.
Yeah.
Those ones are even more expensive. The ones that are like organic, they've come straight. Those ones are even more expensive. You buy an apple for $2. Okay, that's exaggerating, but they're expensive.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
But
we'll
now, the last question before we wind up.
Mm.
Would you recommend someone to study abroad, especially from undergrad?
Mm-hmm.
And two, I know people will ask this. How was it paid for, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, I can share. That's okay.
And then, would you come back
to Kenya? Yeah.
Okay. Those are good questions. Yeah, Mwisho. I'll start with... undergrad, you have to be mentally prepared, especially going to a place that's that far. You know, UK is pretty close. We have similar culture-ish, but like there's a lot of Kenyans in the UK.
Yeah.
So you can meet your people. It's 3 hours away, so you don't get jet lag.
Yeah.
Things are a bit similar.
Yeah.
But because also Kenya... and we have like this weird relationship with the UK.
It's being colonial past, but okay.
But Canada is like completely
removed.
Yeah. It's like, even if you wanted to come home, you can't just hop on a flight because it's expensive and it's time consuming.
Yeah.
Like, I came for a month, but that's because by the time you get rid of jet lag and you see everyone, it's a month. Like, even now, I'm like, can I have an extra week? But that's the way. Yeah. You can't just come for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I remember a friend of mine in the UK this guy came like 3 times a year. He'd come in December, he'd come in May or April at the end of school.
A friend like that. It just pop in.
Just pop in and out. They're here for like a week.
Yeah.
A week, 2 weeks, they've gone.
Yeah.
So it's far. You're gonna be homesick. You're gonna miss home a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a bigger city, you'll probably meet Kenyans. Yeah. But Kenyans who are there and grew up there are different. Africans in general who grew up in the West, because there's a lot of people who are second generation. Their parents moved there. Now they were me.
Yeah.
So now they have kids. Their kids are different completely.
Yeah.
They're Africans, but they are Western Africans. Like westernized Africans. So
and
there's
then
a
they
bit
also
of a
have
difference.
Community because they grew up there. That's the difference between you and them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What was the other question?
Costs.
I would say if you're going for an undergrad, it is expensive. My fees were around $25,000 to $30,000 a year, Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the math.
Dick.
Then you add in accommodation.
Because you need
food.
Yeah.
But I'll say you can work. One of the benefits is you can work while studying. So things like accommodation and food. If you're on it and you're on job, you can cover that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough, and I say fortunate because I was very fortunate. My folks paid for my education.
Yeah.
So I was very fortunate that they were able to afford that because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of scholarships. And if you're in a very, very dire situation, there are bursaries that are available. Okay. But those are harder to get because they cater mainly to the locals, the Canadians.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else about that. If you're going to study abroad, there are other options that are not just undergrad. And I wish I knew this ahead of time because I would have done this. You can go. You know how we have TVETs?
Yeah.
Or like...
colleges. Like,
There's so colleges.
Technical
yes. institutes.
Yeah.
Technical institutes. Actually, yes, that's the word. There are a lot of technical institutes that offer courses that are... like the longest ones are 2 years.
Yeah.
So you go there, you do that technical course for 2 years, and then you start working in that field. After about a year, you become a permanent resident.
Yeah.
So
I've heard of these.
when you become a permanent resident, you pay the rate of Canadians.
So you're no longer paying as an international.
You're no longer paying as international. You're paying as a local.
Yeah. So the school fees is cheaper.
It's cheaper, way cheaper. And then you can go and upgrade that technical certificate or diploma to a degree. And you start from third year.
Oh, because so now you already have credits.
You have credits and you have work experience. So I would honestly say if you're thinking of studying abroad, explore that option.
Yeah.
Like I went to do engineering. I would have done maybe like a I would have been a technician.
Yeah.
Like a gas technician or something.
Yeah.
Do that, start working, earn money,
yeah,
become a permanent resident, and then I can take on the burden of paying for my own fees at a reduced rate.
Yeah.
I've made money. I have work experience already. So by the time you're graduating even, you've taken the brunt at the first 2 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You start working. You start making money, you get into the system, into the culture, and then those last 2 years, if you want to upgrade, you don't have to, because even those technical courses, they're very lucrative because people respect the technical professionals.
Yeah.
They are very respected and they get paid well over time. It just takes longer to get that. You start at a lower initial pay, but you can make good money.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you had one more question.
Would you come back?
Would I come back?
Yeah.
I would come back on two occasions. One, probably retirement, because I am not shoveling snow. Fuck that. In my 60s. Can you imagine being 60 years old? Actually, I'm going outside shoveling. No, thank you.
And struggling with the weather still.
That would be option one if I was to come back. Option two is if I can come back as an expatriate. So right now,
make the same pay.
Yeah, I want to get a Canadian citizenship, but then come back. The company will treat me as a Canadian and pay me as a Canadian.
Yeah.
But I'll be living in Kenya.
Yeah, I get
your community and your people and my community and
people. So exactly. That's in avocados. I know that's the dream for a lot of young Kenyans right now, is working for an international organization, being paid in a dollar rate, living in Kenya.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, if I could get that, I would come back.
Okay.
100%.
That's beautiful.
Love that. Thank you so much for joining us, baby. I've learned so much.
Me too. It was such a good episode. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope if you have any more questions for Mugambi, please leave them in the chat. If you've learned a lot, tell us your highlights, and also follow us on our socials on Nairobi Sisterhood. I'm at Maya Mushemi and
at I am Gina.
Bye.